Let's pray together. Gracious Father in heaven, it's always a privilege to seek your face. And as we get deeper into the book of Revelation, as we begin to turn the page and dive into the seven churches, I pray, dear Lord, that you would give us that divine guidance that we need in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to begin with Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called what? Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that this little island is a rocky and desolate island in the Aegean Sea and belongs to the Sardis Islands, some 50 miles southwest off the coast of Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. And by the way, my daughter has been to Turkey, and she spent some time there. And a pastor friend and his wife took my daughter to Turkey. And my daughter is about 5'8" or 5'9". She's blonde-headed, fair-skinned, and blue eyes. You wonder why. Yeah, Dad. And they constantly wanted to trade camels for my daughter in Turkey. It got to the point where she had to wear a hoodie so they didn't see the blonde hair. Now, I was talking to my son-in-law the other day, and I said, you know, I still don't see those camels. But maybe I should be asking for horses, maybe, instead of camels. Okay. All right, so the island is about 16 miles square. So that gives us a little bit of a background. You see this guy sitting on an island that's about 16 miles square. In verse 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write it in a what? In a book, and what? So the original intent of the book of Revelation is, or was, to the seven churches, right? All right. And then he goes on to name them, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw what? Seven golden candlestands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, the word. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. And you know, Nathan, you and I were talking about death the other day. Isn't it interesting right here that the authority on death is Christ? And he says, I was dead, now I am alive, and I have the keys. Now, the primary application of this verse is simply that he is the resurrection and the life. No two ways about it. But I like to have, and maybe this is just me kind of superimposing on this text, something that I tend to see there. In a secondary sense, he's saying, I have the keys that unlock the mysteries to these things too. And if there's one word that Jesus used about death, he called it a sleep. So the Bible says he's the one that experienced it. He's the one that understands it. I'm going to take the word of Jesus. Period. Case closed. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are, the things which will take place after this. Verse 20. Now here's where we're getting into our study today. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Why did God illustrate his churches by a lampstand? A light, that's right. A light. A light. Now I'm going to touch this and I'm going to get off of it because I get on this soapbox all the time because this is the passion of my ministry, is to see folks just like you so in love with Christ that you want other people to see Christ. And that you're willing to be spent. You're willing to do whatever is necessary, legally, to lead people to Christ. I have found that that is the highest joy that God can bestow upon humanity. Winning souls. Leading people to Christ. John saw seven separate golden lampstands, and Christ was walking among them. We see Jesus as personal, coming close to his people. That's what I see there. I see Jesus in the midst of his people saying, you're special to me. You're important to me. My churches are important. The church is supposed to bear the light of the gospel to the darkened world, right? And seriously, folks, every one of you have been given gifts and talents. And you need to know the difference between the two. Gifts and talents to be used by the God of heaven. And some of you may be thinking, well, you know, I'm up in age now and there's not a whole lot I can do. I'm here because at that time my grandmother was 84 years old and she was the only one that cared about my soul. And she's the one when I'd pull up on the motorcycle, she reminded me of Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies. She'd crawl on the back of that motorcycle and go down the road with me. The whole time hugging me and telling me that she loved me and that Jesus loved me. And I've told you this story before about her and the cars, and she'd drive my fast cars so that she could be close to me. And I remember getting up early one morning. There were 700 acres attached to where she lived that belonged to the family and the cattle and all of that stuff. And I can remember spending the night at her house. She was on the property and getting up about 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom, and as I walked past her bedroom, her door was open, she was on her knees, the light and the Bible was open, and she was praying for me. You need to think about that, folks. There's power in prayer. We can't persuade anybody to accept Christ. We can't twist anybody's arm. But Christ can do the work through the Holy Spirit. And here's a picture of Christ coming close. Jesus wants us to come close to people. He says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't make your light shine. It shines because you have a relationship with Him and you spend time with Him and He lives out His life through you. Folks, think about it. At the end of the road, and if you are so privileged to be able to lay on your deathbed and know that your final moments are coming, and you have an opportunity to contemplate the past? What is a big retirement plan going to do for you then? Lots of land and houses and whatever. In the end, what is really going to matter? You going to take that stuff with you? You know what we take out of this place? Character. And those that will be standing on the sea of glass. Those that will be standing on the sea of glass. I'm telling you, folks, there are people out there that only you can reach. We just need to say every day, "Dear Jesus, I am available to you. I'm available. Use me." And I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. I look up to heaven and say, things must be awful slow up there for you to use me. I feel that way. I really do. And what also I have found to be a soul winner for Christ, you don't have to have no big words and be an expert with the Bible. You know what you it's a relationship with Jesus that motivates you. It motivates you to live for Him. Motivates. There's the team. I've been out at the Allens this week helping get the horse ranch lit up and watered up and a few stumps out of the ground. And those young people work hard. And you know, the other day, if I may tell this story, remember the two girls that came over? Two girls came over. We're visiting. And it was interesting to me that they just kept hanging around, and, you know, at a certain point we needed to get back to work. They came over, and you guys had said, oh, by the way, Sage said hi, and she said to give Joe a hug and a kiss for her. That's the horse. And that she is coming next weekend, and she is absolutely geeked out to see you guys, okay? I couldn't get her off the phone last night. But anyway, this young lady, when she found out that Pastor Ben and I were ministers, she didn't recoil. She didn't run away. In fact, she engaged, and she even said that she was down here with her father, blah, 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 because she had some problems in New York. And I could tell she was from New York because of her accent. Yes, you folks have an accent, believe me. To make a long story really short, I need to let you get to your lesson. I saw in that girl's eyes a longing for something better. And what I would like to say to the Allen young people, anytime that people know that we're Christians, and they still come to see us, regardless of what the intent may be, the horses or whatever, or to come over and brag about what she has, whatever. Seeking your presence. And there is what is called a receptivity line. And when people are seeking the presence of Christian people, they may be a two or three on that line, maybe a four, moving towards accepting Christ eventually. We need to be well aware that people don't just stop by to be stopping by. These are all divine appointments. And we need to be so focused that anytime somebody comes around us, and what I say to you, I'm saying to me, because there are times when I have something that breaks and I'm all focused on that which is broken instead of the person that has come to fix it, and that's the reason why it's broke. Amen. And instead of belly aching and whining, I'm talking to me. Ladies, you never belly ache and whine, but guys do. Oh, the thing is broke everywhere. It's because God is bringing somebody and He wants to come into their lives, okay? Now I need to finish here. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And who gets the glory? Father in heaven gets the glory. If the church fails to be a light, listen to me carefully, folks. I don't care what church you go to. If the church fails to be a light, it loses its reason for its existence. This is not a good old boys club. This is not a place where we get together and kumbaya each other to death. This is not a place where our calendar is all about us. And that our sermons are all about us. And that there's no training for people to be able to engage people out there. We need to be about our Father's business. And I can tell you that if we're not lights, we'll be replaced. I don't want to be replaced. And I know that all of this has to do with spiritual motivation. And when I neglect this, if you neglect this, your motivation level towards Christ goes down. And you begin to focus on other things and you make those other things more important. But when you're focused on Christ and you're focused on His Word, then you're focused on what He's focused on. And a lot of church members don't understand that there is a vast difference between just being a good church person and coming to church and studying for yourself, opposed to entering into the ministry of Jesus. That's far more than just going to church. We enter into the ministry of Christ. Now, I'm going to end with this verse and one thought. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Don't come in here telling me that God is going to allow us to just simply be consumers and not producers. In fact, true Christianity automatically places the go of the gospel in the heart, and you want to win people to Christ. And some of you are probably sitting here saying, well, I've been a member of a church and I've never led anybody to Christ. You know what? Don't sit there and cry over spilt milk. Change by God's grace. Change. And somebody might say, well, I don't know how to do it. Then ask. Just ask. God will show you. He will show you. The churches represented by the seven lampstands correspond to the sevenfold activity of the Holy Spirit on behalf of the churches, suggesting the fullness and the universality of the activity of the Holy Spirit on behalf of God's people. Each of the churches has the full support of the Holy Spirit and a task to perform in the world. Have prayer at your tables and begin to work your lessons.